Something different. I was scrolling through shout out Frantic Tumble's profile and came across Bill in the Woods old questionnaire. It was deleted, but someone had posted the questions underneath, so I thought, why not, right? The first question is, what do you think the way you walk says about you? Well, I've never paid much attention to the way I walk, but a few years ago, I met up with someone I was seeing for the very first time in person, and the first thing she said to me in person was, "Don't be weird." And sometime later, I asked her about that, and she said, "Oh, it was the way you were walking. You were walking in a weird way." So I guess the way that I walk says I'm weird. I'm not going to dwell too much on that, because you don't want to start paying attention to the way you walk and then find yourself trying to adjust it as you're walking and probably go tumbling over. Number two, question two, which Dr. Seuss character would you be and why? Is this character like you or someone you aspire to be? I would be... The first character that came to mind was Cindy Lou Who, I think that's her name, played by, if you don't know, the woman who grew up to be Jenny on Gossip Girl, which is kind of wild to think about. I still haven't finished Gossip Girl, started watching it for an ex-girlfriend, haven't managed to get all the way through, yeah. So, Cindy Lou Who, if you don't know, she's the little girl in the Grinch film slash book who wants to be nice to the Grinch and just wants to show them love and include him. And yeah, I have quite a soft heart. That would be me. I just want to love and include everyone, so. Cindy Lou Who. Number three, do you like poetry? If so, do you have a favourite poet slash poem? If it's short or you feel like it, please feel free to do a reading if you'd like. So, yes, I really like poetry. I don't understand most of it. I'm not the most intellectual being there is. I love poems about nature because I'm really into nature. But I have a favourite poem and I have a favourite last like five lines of a poem. I can read you those, hold on. So the five lines are actually from a really long poem called The Lesson for Today by Robert Frost. I think it's actually the last stanza of the poem. And it goes, clear my throat. I hold your doctrine of memento mori, and were an epitaph to be my story, I'd have a short one ready for my own. I would have it written of me on my stone. I had a lover's quarrel with the world. I don't know, I just really like that. Lover's quarrel with the world. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And, oh, before I forget, this isn't the poem that I mentioned, but I also really love Every Day You Play by Pablo Neruda. It's really beautiful. I won't read it because it's longer and I suck at poetry reading because I overthink everything, even as I'm reading. But yeah, Every Day You Play. You should look it up if you like poetry. The other poem is by E.E. Cummings. It's called I Carry Your Heart With Me. I'm not going to do it justice, and you should look it up too because, well, parts of the poem are in brackets, and I don't know how well that will come across in a reading, especially a reading by me. But here we go. I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear. And whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. I want no world, for beautiful you are my world, my true. And it's you are whatever a moon has always meant, and whatever a sun will always sing is you. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. Here is the root of the root, and the bud of the bud, and the sky of the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than soul can hope or mind can hide. And this is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart. Yeah, that's it's definitely one of my favourites. Question 4 is, tell me a joke. You know, I have a condition that affects my memory, but I remember some things much better than others, and something that I've never been able to retain is jokes. I do love a good Christmas cracker joke, and if you're in a country that doesn't have Christmas crackers, I know that they're rare in the US, I think, you're missing out. Yeah, but I do have one joke memorized, and you have to know the basics of Star Wars. It's okay, can get through this without laughing. Why did Han Solo cry at the dinner table? Because the meat was chewy. Sorry. It's quite a horrible joke, really, but come on, it's funny. And I made up a joke too that I'm really proud of. And if you know me offline, but you somehow don't recognize my voice, and I told you the joke, you would know who I was. But yeah, it's a Buffy joke, and I feel like most people these days don't know Buffy, but thank God for the R Buffy subreddit. So I won't tell it because I don't think many people will get it, but it's good. Question 5. Pick your weapon of choice for zombie killing. Oh, I went through a years long stage of being obsessed with zombie films. And a little bit of television. You know, I watched The Walking Dead, who didn't? But part of that stage involved reading books about zombies, and one of them was The Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks. And I still have it, but I haven't read it since. And I'm pretty sure that he's American and he goes through a bunch of, you know, guns and weapons that would or would not be good against zombies. And I feel like he picks his ultimate one. I just can't remember what that weapon is. I feel like maybe it's an axe, but I could be mistaken about that. But I don't think I've ever used any kind of weapon, except a knife to chop food. So I know that if zombies ever come, I'm done for. You know, I'm in the UK. We don't have, well, we have guns, but not readily accessible to the public. I do have a, you know, just if a zombie comes bursting into my room, I might survive the first attack, because I have a sort of very sharp Crash Bandicoot figurine that has a knife going through its head. Its ears are really sharp and the knife is really sharp. And one of my good friends / my ex, because I'm a typical lesbian, gave it to me a decade plus ago, and I kept it because I'm really sentimental, and if if someone ever, you know, bursts into my room, that's going to be what I hit them with. Because I probably shouldn't admit this on a recording, because now it will sound planned, but yeah, it's But past that, I'm done for. I can't run very well, and I can't fight. So, zombies will get me. I you know, resigned myself to that fact a long time ago. Question 6, how do you feel around large crowds of people? I'm never in them for very long, but just because I'm not. But they're okay. As long as I'm feeling well in myself, I should be okay. Too much noise can be difficult for me, but other than that, you know, if I'm just walking through a large crowd or alone or with a friend, it's fine. Question 7, describe a moment when you become aroused at an appropriate time. How did you handle the situation? Well, to paraphrase Bruce Banner / the Hulk, that's my secret. I'm always aroused. Sorry, very cheesy and geeky, but yeah, that's pretty much the truth. No, it's not. Especially not these days. But it was kind of the truth for a long time, so I just shove the feelings back down and hope it doesn't show in my eyes. Yeah. Question 8. Do you think anyone ever has a good first time, aka losing their virginity? If you are one of the mythical few, please tell me about it. Well, I gotta get cheesy on you again because, yes, I think it's possible. My experiences, and I say that in the plural form because I think first time, I think losing your virginity, it can cover a number of things. Sex does not have to be penetrative sex. But in terms of that and other stuff, I had fairly good first experiences. And to get cheesy, it's, I believe that's because I had those experiences with people that I cared about and trusted. I'm not saying you have to do that or that you should do that, but I think it makes a big difference. Yeah, I have a young niece and I really hope that. I think all the time, like, I know it might sound weird out of context, but you know, when you have children in your life, you really want the best for them in all aspects, and especially in this perverted world that we live in. I know I can't really say that doing filthy audios on Reddit, but you think about the people you care about who haven't got to that stage yet, and even some friends who are younger than me but still around my age haven't had that experience yet, and you really just want the best for them. And I think waiting for the right person can make a huge difference. But obviously I'm not, you know, I don't judge. Go and fuck whoever you want. And that's, you know, that's also not always the case, because I do know people who fucked a stranger for the first time, their first time, and it was still good. I just think it's more of a rarity, but yeah. Question 9, robots or dinosaurs? Dinosaurs, obviously. I went to a dinosaur-themed wedding what year are we in? What year was that? A few years ago. And it was amazing. It was like, I would never have that kind of thing myself unless the woman I was marrying wanted it herself, because I've always imagined myself like saying, let's have your dream wedding. You know, I'm corny. If it makes her happy, that makes me happy. But when I was at that wedding, I was like, yeah, I could see this being my wedding if it was up to me. There was dinosaur, we all got a paper cone of dinosaur confetti, and I believe it was biodegradable, which is good, that we threw over the happy couple at the end. There was someone in a dinosaur shirt. I was in a dinosaur dress, and it matched this guy's dinosaur shirt, even though we'd bought them in different shops in different cities, so that was cool. They made us take photographs. The groom had T-Rex cufflinks. I can't even remember. Oh, the bride had I think it was a T-Rex or a dinosaur bone fossil necklace. There were other things. And again, if you know me offline, but you somehow didn't recognize my voice, you'll know me now, I think. Yeah, there was, it was amazing. I loved it. Oh, there were giant pork pies, which if you're not from the UK, you might not know what they are, but, and they had dinosaur designs on top of them. Yeah, the whole thing was very, it was just fantastic. Question 10, if you were a mad scientist, what sort of mad scientist would you be? What is your mad scientist name? Oh dear. You know, I'm not very creative. I don't know what my my mad scientist name would be. But I did psychology at college and uni, and we didn't actually get up to any crazy experiments ourselves, of course, but I did read a book called, and I still have it, I was just looking for it, called Elephants on Acid and Other Bizarre Experiments. And obviously I don't support unethical mad scientist experiments on anyone, but it was a fascinating read at the time. It's quite, I think it's aimed at a younger audience now, I was quite fascinated by the book at the time, read it a couple of times. I'm hoping I wouldn't be unethical. I'm hoping I wouldn't be an unethical mad scientist, but I fear that part of myself that was fascinated by a book called Elephants on Acid and Other Bizarre Experiments might rear her ugly head. Let's hope not. Question 11, have you ever met a famous, quotation marks, person? If so, how did you react? And if not, who would you like to meet? You know, I'm not really one to be starstruck. I'm not really bothered by that kind of thing. But I have met a few famous people, not for a long time. I had a hospital stay when I was somewhere between the ages of 10 and 13. I can't remember. And I'm from Manchester, which is a city in the northwest of England. And I know that soccer, as you call it in the US, you might not know our UK teams as well, but one of the biggest teams is Manchester United. And some of the Manchester United players at the time came to the hospital to visit the sick kids, and I met some of them, and I got my photograph taken with, I think it was just five of them, but, and David Beckham, who was around at that time, didn't come. So that was I can't remember if he'd left the team by then or not, but it was vaguely disappointing at the time. Just so that as a child I could say, yeah, I met David Beckham, but I did not. But I did meet a few people who I'm not going to bother naming because Reddit is largely American, I think, and people won't know who they are, so. Question 10. No, it's not question 10. Question 12. Tell me your favourite thing about the fall, in brackets, weather, leaves changing, pumpkins, etc. So I'm sure you probably know that in the UK we call fall autumn. I don't know how many other countries do that. I know that many European countries take the American spelling and names of things, so. But I'm sure we're not the only ones who call it autumn. So my favourite thing about autumn slash fall is, well, it's, yeah, it's exactly that. It's the leaves, the trees changing. I'm obsessed with leaves. Every year I send a particular friend pictures of what I call sexy leaves. You know, you're walking along, it could just be a short walk, but you see a gorgeous leaf on the ground. I'm particularly fond of the red ones, or different shades of red, but you get those bright red. And I just have so many pictures of leaves. On trees, off trees, bushes, yeah, that's my favourite thing. And in the UK, obviously, our colours do change, but it's not the same as, I know, the US. I can't remember what state, or maybe there are a few states, but I could hazard a guess, but I don't want to make a fool out of myself. I've heard that, and I've seen a documentary. it was a countryside program, but set in the US, of your amazing trees, all of them. The colours, and yeah, we don't get that here to that extent, but I still love it. It's still incredible every year. It's something that you never get bored of, or I never get bored of, so. Question 13, what's the biggest risk you've ever taken? Not a huge risk taker. I suppose on a physical level, you know, looking back, I think, how did my parents allow this? But when I was 14, I met my first girlfriend online. And I'm 31 now, so you can, this is not long after we actually first got a computer for the very first time. So we met online. And when I turned 15 for my 15th birthday, my parents let me go and meet her in person. She was down the other end of the country. I went by coach. And I guess that's the biggest physical risk I've ever taken. But it also wasn't, because even back then I knew how to, you know, I knew the basics of keeping myself safe. We talked on the phone every night. My parents spoke to her parents. We webcammed every night, and I saw her sister and one of her brothers too, so, and spoke to them multiple times. So yeah, it wasn't really a risk, but I mean, I suppose in a way, at 15, going down the other end of the country to stay with a family you don't know, kind of. But isn't the biggest risk, one of the biggest risks we take is letting ourselves fall in love, isn't it? And that's always a risk, but no matter how it turns out, hopefully it's always worth it, because even if you end up heartbroken, that will heal with time, and hopefully you still have some good memories. And if you're in a relationship where you think to the future, and you imagine yourself looking back and you realize you wouldn't have many good memories, then you know it's time to hop on out of that relationship. Question 14, do you have any irrational fears? I do not think this fear is irrational, but also it is. I'm emetophobic, which means trigger warning, if you're also emetophobic, I have a fear of vomit. And for some people, that might mean being sick themselves. For others, it might mean watching others be sick. For me, it's both. Some people have the both side of it. But luckily, I'm nowhere near as severe as many people. It doesn't affect what I eat most of the time. It doesn't stop me from seeing other people. For some people, it turns them into a hermit, and they limit their diet quite severely. But thankfully, that's not the case for me. My auntie is also emetophobic, and I don't know if I got it from her. You know, I'm sure psychologists might say there's a good chance I did, but I don't think I did. I think, I mean, maybe it factors into it, but I think I just had bad experiences when I was younger, and they turned me into this. It's really hard to cure. Most therapies don't deal with it, and the ones that do tend to be exposure therapy, which is where you're gradually exposed, as the name implies, to the thing that you're afraid of. But it's kind of hard to be completely devoid, to have your life be completely devoid of vomit, as gross as it is, because people get sick, you get sick, it's in so many films. So I have, I am exposed to it sometimes, and it doesn't cure my fear. So don't know that it will ever go away, but I hope so. Question 15. Did you ever learn any pop culture dance crazes, i.e. the doogie, the wobble? And if so, which dances can you do? Haven't even heard of those. I can make my stomach do the wobble after a full day. No, I don't dance. So, yeah. Question 16. Do you like cheesy 80s movies? If so, which is your favourite one? I haven't seen them in a while, but I like the Star Wars films. So when did they come out? Some of them were 70s, 80s, right? And I think I saw in the comments someone mentioned Gremlins, which is always a fun film to watch around Christmas. Gremlins 1 and 2. But generally, no, not really. I'm very much into my superhero women. Sorry, it doesn't have to be, like Marvel, DC superheroes. Just empowered, strong women, and you didn't get too many of them in the 80s, in a few horror films, but definitely more today's women. And I like a diverse cast as well, which you didn't get too much of in the 80s. Question 17, how do you feel about coffee? I, in my whole life, must have had one sip of coffee, and that one sip was enough to put me off for life, so that's how I feel about coffee. I mean, at a push, I'll eat a coffee cake, because it's cake, but Question 18, do you drink alcohol? If so, tell me about your favourite cocktail. No, I don't drink alcohol. My body, I think I must be alcohol intolerant. I just, a few sips and I'm done. dizzy, woozy. So, no, I don't drink very often. I might have a few sips of vodka or some fruity drink once or twice a year, and that's it. Generally, all alcohol that I have tried tastes the same to me. I'm guessing it's just because I'm not a big drinker. But I taste wines or beers, and I'm like, it all tastes the same. I don't understand. Very uncultured. Question 19. Do an impression of your choosing if recording an audio response. If you are responding via text, tell me an impression you're pretty good at. So I paused the recording just now to see if I could do the impression that I had in my head, and I cannot. I can't do other voices, I can't do impressions. Very boring that way. But the one that I was gonna do was Alexis Rose from Schitt's Creek. And if you haven't seen that show, go and watch it. It's on Netflix. It's just wrapped up its final season. The final season was planned in advance. The creators said, this is going to be our final season. We are ending it how we want to end it. So it was all wrapped up. Go and watch it because it's a wholesome, silly, but in the best kind of way, show. Lots of feel-good moments, and yeah, it's really good. Question 20, any last words? I guess just, if you made it through this, what are you doing with your life? No, I'm kidding. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a lovely day. Or night, and keep safe. Bye.